So honored to welcome onto the show Deputy Director of Communication for President Donald J. Trump, Caroline Sunshine. You can follow her on Twitter at CSunshine. Caroline, it's so wonderful to have you join us. Thank you for making time out of your day.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm well, and I will tell you, every time I hear Lee Greenwood sing that song, I get goosebumps. We've had him here on the show twice. I mean, he's just so amazing, but now when I hear it, after being a delegate for the state of North Carolina, sitting on the floor at the RNC with Lee Greenwood to my right singing that, and Donald Trump coming in, I still get goosebumps just telling the story, walking in 48 hours after an assassin's bullet hit him, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. It was one of the most patriotic, moving moments I think I've ever experienced in my life. So every time I hear it now, when I hear Lee Greenwood sing now, I'm taken right back to that moment on the floor.
Wow, it's so beautiful to hear you recount that. I couldn't agree more. President Trump is a great American warrior. No one loves this country the way that he does. And it's why he's doing what he's doing, because he loves this country. And this movement that he leads, the MAGA movement, such an extraordinary movement, it's all about love of country. And I feel the same way when I hear that song. I think a lot of us do in this movement. You know, we just look at what's being done to this country. It's unacceptable. And we hate to see our country suffer because we all love it so much. That was so beautiful. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, I think back and, you know, of course, being at the RNC was just, I've been to others, but this one was unique and so historic. Let's talk a little bit. I think it set the stage. As you compare the RNC to the DNC, you can see really a different vision for this country, a different overall feeling. I understand that Harris is running on this vibes campaign, but I'll put our RNC vibes up against the DNC vibes of flag burning and rioting and sit-ins and pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas support anytime, anywhere, because what we experienced in Milwaukee watching, especially, and we're going to talk, you and I'll talk a bit about this here, the Abigate, what we saw happen with those Gold Star families, 16 of them on the stage at the RNC, everyday families that were up there talking about how this administration, the Harris-Biden administration, has abandoned them. But what you saw, I think, was this vision from Donald Trump, from J.D. Vance, everyone that got up on the stage about we can make America great again. And it's not the narrative that the Democrats want to paint of what was happening in Milwaukee, but you and I had a front row seat, and I think, saw it very differently.
Absolutely. I mean, President Trump said it best himself that this election is between fake, 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 and fight for fight, fight, fight. And I think actually what you saw just this past week in the country really exemplifies what a split-screen election that we are witnessing. You watched the DNC this week where President Trump's name was mentioned over 400 times. The word inflation was mentioned once in Kamala Harris's speech. She mentioned Donald Trump's name 15 times in her own speech, also mentioning the word inflation only once. They didn't talk about the border. They didn't talk about crime. They didn't talk about inflation, immigration. They didn't talk about any of the issues most important to the American people, and there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is they're on the wrong side of every single one of those issues. Kamala Harris, her day one was 3.5 years ago. She broke the U.S. economy. She's broken our border. She's broken our foreign policy. She has done so intentionally. Joe Biden may have wanted 20 million illegal immigrants. Kamala Harris wants 40 million more, wants to turn this country into a sanctuary country. You contrast that with President Trump. The past week he had visiting our border, where you quite literally saw the border wall that President Trump built and the pieces of a border wall that Kamala Harris is allowing to just lay at our wide open border. It couldn't be a further contrast. You watch President Trump out taking questions from the media, out taking questions from anyone and everyone. Kamala Harris still hasn't sat for a sit-down interview, hasn't done a press conference. Her first interview, yes, likely to be this weekend. Not even doing a solo interview, doing it with Tim Walz, really using her VP candidate as an emotional support dog. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is not somebody who is fit. She's the current vice president of the United States, and look at the job that she has done. Is that somebody that you would give a promotion to? Absolutely not. And you're right. You look at where the energy, the momentum, the hope, and the love is in this race, and it's with President Trump. And you watch his movement expand, too. Just this past week, coming off endorsements from RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, both former Democrats, who realize it's not so much that the Democrat Party, it's not so much that they left the Democrat Party, it's that the Democrat Party left them. And so you're seeing all of this, by the way, too, being reflected in the polls. I think the Harris campaign and the liberal mainstream media were were hoping for a bump in the polls after the DNC, when in fact we've actually seen the momentum continue to be on President Trump's side, probably because President Trump is actually running for president by being out with the American people and speaking directly to their concerns, while Kamala Harris is running a fake campaign, really, that appeals to, I don't think, anybody outside of San Francisco or Hollywood.
Absolutely. We're talking with Deputy Director of Communications for President Donald Trump, Caroline Sunshine. You can follow her on Twitter at C Sunshine. You know, I was just, as I was preparing for us to talk, I feel like I'm getting policy whiplash from the Harris Walls campaign. Now she wants a border, even though with the stroke of a pen, the Biden-Harris administration opened our border to 12 million plus illegal immigrants, at least 99 on the known terror watch list. We have no idea where they are. She supports amnesty, a road to citizenship for these illegals. This is what she's always supported. She was the most liberal member of the Senate, left of Bernie Sanders. But now all of a sudden she supports a border. She has EV mandates, signed the legislation, voted for EV mandates. Yet when she's in Michigan trying to tell a much different story, she was going to ban all fracking. Now, apparently, when she's in Pennsylvania trying to pander votes there, now all of a sudden she supports fracking. Of course, none of these policy changes have come directly from her. They're coming from surrogates on her staff. You know, to your point, this kind of joint interview that I believe has probably already been recorded and edited by CNN. Let's see if it's anything like the Walls-Harris kind of creepy video that they did together where they were interviewing one another. That was one of the most bizarre things I think I have ever seen. So strange. But this idea and concept that she continues to run on, talking out of one side of her mouth, that she was the last person in the room every time Joe Biden made a decision. But then she wants to talk about what she's going to do on day one. So either you've been part of this administration and the most important number two person ever for the last 1,300 plus days, or not, because day one was 1,300 and about 26 days ago, yet the mainstream media is letting her get away with this massaging of history. And, you know, I said during the DNC, during an interview, I said, I think the new motto of the Democratic Party is don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Well, once again, wow, absolutely. You should do my job for me. You laid it out so perfectly, but it's so true. Look, Kamala Harris's day one, as I said, was 3.5 years ago. She is the woman who broke the U.S. economy. She's not going to be the one to fix it. And it's not so much that Kamala Harris is flip-flopping on her positions. Let's be very clear. She's not a flip-flopper. She's a fraud. We know what Kamala Harris wants and what she will do if she was ever elected president of the United States. She has made that very clear. The wide-open border we have under her watch is not an accident. That is completely by design and completely intentional. Kamala Harris is a good old-fashioned California liberal. I always say you can take the woman out of San Francisco, you can't take San Francisco out of the woman. She championed sanctuary city and sanctuary state policies when she was back there. She would turn this country into a sanctuary country. This is a woman who, as border czar, never once called her current Border Patrol chief or former Border Patrol chief, not even once. That is not incompetence. That is negligence. And so it's not so much that she's flip-flopping on all of these policy positions, it's that she's a fraud. She's lying about who she is. This is the equivalent of a crocodile now telling you that it's a vegetarian, or an arsonist now telling you that they're going to become a firefighter. I mean, the person that burns down your home isn't going to be the one to put out the fire. Let's be very clear. And Kamala Harris, as I said, has broken our border. She's broken our economy. She's broken our foreign policy. Also, by the way, can you imagine Kamala Harris sitting down with our adversaries in Iran and China and the Middle East and all, and Russia, and negotiating? Absolutely not. This is the woman who, as you said, was the last person in the room during Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan. She stood by that decision, said she was good with it. Well, being good with that decision resulted in the loss of life of 13 U.S. service members who just celebrated or honored the third anniversary of their death just this past week. I mean, all of these decisions that she's made for the last 3.5 years have had consequences, and you don't have to look very far to see the grieving families of those service members, to see the grieving families of women like Laken Riley and Rachel Morin and Jocelyn Nungaray killed by illegal immigrants allowed in under Kamala Harris. And you don't have to look very far to see the suffering inflicted on American families and workers as people are struggling to afford not only daily life, but the American dream. So if you want to see what a future Kamala Harris administration would look like, you don't have to look very far. We're all living under one right now.
Absolutely. And I'm just a firm believer, when people show you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
She has shown it since she was in the Senate. She showed us what she was like when she was in San Francisco. I think the question continues to be, and President Trump has done such a great job of presenting this from each and every time he speaks, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And it's not about personality. It's about policy. The North Carolinians who are listening to you talk right now, I'm talking with Caroline Sunshine. She's the Deputy Director of Communications for President Donald Trump. North Carolinians who are listening to us right now are paying $12,000 more a year for the same goods and services under Bidenomics, which she's proud of, than they were under President Trump. We are seeing gas up 47%, consumer prices up 19%, groceries up 20%, electricity up 28%, rent up 21%. We've been talking about this statistic a lot on the show. Credit card debt at a national all-time high, up 44%. Americans are going into debt just to survive, just to buy school supplies for their children. We are seeing numbers at food pantries like we have never seen in this country before. One of Kamala Harris's policies, although, of course, as you and I both know, she hasn't put any policies up on her website, but is about the federal government getting involved in grocery prices. That is Cold War Russia breadline policy. This is a woman who was raised by a Marxist, and when she's off script, when she shows you who she really is, pay very close attention to her policies because they align with a socialist Marxist agenda.
100%, and we can't have that. We cannot have it. As I said, her day one, 3.5 years ago, you look at she's broken the entire country, and then you look at, like, when she hasn't suggested any policies, by the way. She just plagiarizes President Trump, like his no tax on tips policy. That is his policy, not hers. In fact, Kamala Harris has done the exact opposite, a more tax on tips. You just have to ask yourself, any of the things Kamala Harris is saying that she now wants to do, she should have done them in the last 3.5 years. She could have done them in the last 3.5 years. And if she wanted to do them in the last 3.5 years, she would have. But you are absolutely right. This is Comrade Kamala. Comrade Kamala. This is a woman, as I said, you can take the woman out of San Francisco. You can't take San Francisco out of the woman. She's not a flip-flopper. She's an absolute fraud. And she's hiding from the American people that she is a very dangerously liberal woman. Look at everything that she actually does stand for. A wide open border, banning fracking, wanting men to play in women's sports. When she was attorney general in California, she wanted to make sure that every inmate in the prison system in California had access to taxpayer-funded gender reassignment surgery should they want it. But this woman is a woman who has shown you who she is. Like you said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Absolutely. We're talking with Caroline Sunshine, Deputy Director of Communications for President Donald Trump. It's interesting as we look at this race. One of the things we know that President Trump, Vice Presidential nominee J.D. Vance, are really up in kind of the blue wall area. They're going to be there through Labor Day. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, hitting those important Midwestern states. I live in North Carolina now, but I am a Michigan native, born and raised in Michigan. Know how important that state is. A pivotal Senate race is going on there as well. Trump won Michigan in 2016. Lost in 2020, really kind of all eyes there, all eyes in North Carolina. Kamala Harris is down in Georgia, our neighbor to the south here. And you brought up Laken Riley. I said this with Congressman Greg Murphy on the show yesterday. We've been talking a lot about it on the show. I think the Harris-Biden administration has blood on their hands for the 100,000-plus Americans that will die by fentanyl poisoning that has come across this border. And every beautiful young woman that we see day in and day out, it is heart-wrenching to see this on the news headlines over and over. Young women that are out for a jog like Laken Riley was in Athens, women that are out just taking a walk in New York, that are sexually assaulted, murdered at the hands of illegal immigrants who should never be here. Kamala Harris has blood on her hands, I believe, for each and every one of those deaths.
Absolutely. I mean, look at, you've mentioned fentanyl, right? 30 tons of fentanyl have come across the southern border under Kamala Harris. Okay? That's enough fentanyl to kill every American citizen multiple times over, right? I mean, it's the leading cause of death for Americans ages 18 to 34 is fentanyl poisoning. We heard at the RNC from Weston Sundin's mother talking about, and she described it as such. She said, my child was poisoned by fentanyl. He had no idea that it was laced in the substance that he consumed. He had no idea. I mean, this is a highly lethal substance. We know exactly where it comes from. We know exactly how to keep it out of our country. And yet we have a board reserve, Kamala Harris, who won't lift a finger to do so, while, as you said, hundreds of thousands, millions, really, of American citizens and their families are suffering because of it. And, you know, the left always likes to talk about being pro-woman. Can't be pro-woman and pro-open border. You know, you just can't be. You watch these young women, many of them who were murdered in broad daylight on hikes, targeted by illegal immigrants who came in because of Kamala Harris's border policies, open border policies. Call it what it is an invasion. All Kamala Harris had to do was enforce the immigration laws that were already on the books. She did the exact opposite. She has undone all of those laws. She has opened this country up to dangerous, violent criminals who have now come into this country and are killing our women and our children. And if we don't have a border, we don't have a country. And President Trump has said on day one, he's going to institute the largest criminal deportation in our country's history and make America secure again, because part of making America great again is making sure we secure our southern border and keep American citizens, like our women and children, safe and secure.
Absolutely. We're talking with Caroline Sunshine, Deputy Director of Communications for President Donald Trump. A couple, I think I see them as really kind of game changing, especially in very targeted areas. We know that this race in November is going to be really won in the margins in some key swing states. The Tulsi Gabbard endorsement and support becoming part of the transition team out on the stump for President Donald Trump. And of course, RFK Jr., two critical endorsements that he's received over the course of the last few days. How do you see those playing out in the campaign?
Absolutely. Well, we've been seeing for a while now that independents and disaffected Democrats have been coming over to President Trump for good reason. The Democrat Party and Kamala Harris are very extreme and out of touch with where the average American is at. It's very clear President Trump unified the Republican Party behind him, and now you're watching these endorsements from RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, which we're honored to have. You know, in the polling that we've seen, RFK Jr.'s endorsement in particular, we've seen that if even just a small fraction of his voters flip and vote for President Trump, that's the difference maker in this election. We've seen that in polling in a state like Pennsylvania, for example, that, you know, it's very likely that this election can come down to pretty tight margins. And something like that, as we have seen in the polling difference, even just a few thousand votes, absolutely makes a difference. And so I think what you're watching, how this election is shaping up now in its last 70 days, is it's very clear this is the anti-establishment movement led by President Trump, and flanked by great voices like RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, up against the swamp and the system as embodied by Kamala Harris. And the movement that President Trump leads is a movement to keep America strong, safe, affordable, wealthy again. It's also a movement to keep our families thriving, to make sure we keep men out of women's sports, to make sure that our children are safe, to make sure that, you know, RFK Jr. talks a lot about our food supply in this country. You know, it's something that doesn't get talked about, now getting highlighted by RFK Jr. and President Trump. Everything that this movement stands for is to make America great, strong, safe, and healthy again. And so I think what you're watching in these final 70 days is President Trump's movement is expanding, taking in new voters by the day. And you're watching Kamala Harris, there's all this manufactured support in, you know, polling and in the media, but really a shrinking coalition that doesn't offer a vision for the American people. Like I said, you have to remember at the DNC that Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party had an entire week to lay out their vision for America, lay out their vision on how they're going to make America, how they think they can improve America, and instead they just chose to talk about President Trump 400 times. Not only is that bad policy, that's also a losing electoral strategy.
Absolutely. Joe Biden's name was only mentioned twice from the stage during the RNC. Very, very different, a very different approach. And, you know, here in North Carolina, absentee ballots hit mailboxes a week from Friday. So September 6th, North Carolinians will begin to vote in the November election. You know, one of the reasons I love the Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr. involvement in the race is, I mean, one, I just think they bring kind of some unique lanes into the race. But Tulsi Gabbard single-handedly ended Kamala Harris's presidential run on that debate stage back in 2016. And RFK loved his speech because what he delivered, and we had talked about it on the show leading up to what we anticipated was going to be his endorsement of Donald Trump, was laying out what I think resonates with so many unaffiliated independent voters across this country, especially in key swing states. The Democratic Party of today is unrecognizable to his father and his uncle. It's unrecognizable. I was raised, as I said, in Michigan. My parents are retired union Democrats who are big Trump supporters, but lifelong Democrats before President Trump came along. Ronald Reagan was the only Republican they ever voted for before Donald Trump. But the Democratic Party of today is unrecognizable to them. You talk about a party that wants to say they stand for women, and they want to use reproductive rights. That's their lane, to say we stand for women.
Right.
Yet they want biological men playing on women's sports teams. They want biological men stealing scholarships from female athletes. They can't define a woman, yet the only lane that they can ever talk about with women is the abortion lane. Well, as a woman, as a mother, as a professional, that is not a lane that identifies me as a woman and doesn't identify most women. Most women are trying to figure out, how do I buy groceries when the prices are up 20%, gas is up 47%, and I've got to figure out how I'm going to buy school supplies, get my kid to camp, and take care of my family. I think the Democratic Party and their platform is completely out of touch.
Absolutely. Women are not monolithic. The Democrat Party, led by Kamala Harris, and the liberal mainstream media all love to play identity politics. But when it comes down to it, no matter if you are male or female in this country, no matter if you are black, white, or brown, everybody's money's green. Nobody has enough of it. As you said, mothers are worried about biological men competing in their children's sports. They're worried about how to keep critical race theory out of the classroom. Dishonest information that affects them. I mean, our children are so vulnerable and so easily influenced. And so you're absolutely right. And for all of those women and all of those mothers and all of those families where those are the questions and those are the problems on their mind, there is absolutely a home for them inside President Trump's movement to make America great again, to keep our families safe, to keep our children safe, and to make America a place where our children can grow up and become patriotic, productive citizens and have a chance at the American dream and live happy, thriving lives.
Yeah, and I think we haven't even had an opportunity yet. We're talking with Caroline Sunshine, Deputy Director of Communications for President Trump. You know, we look at the J.D. Vance addition to the ticket, and we'll wrap up with this, Caroline, and we're so grateful for your time here on WPTF. You know, a J.D. Vance addition to the ticket, when that announcement happened, you know, we're all at the RNC again. I'm going to take us back, you know, when we're there in Milwaukee. You know, we really weren't sure. I will tell you, honestly, as a delegate, I wasn't sure based on what was happening in the craziness of the court system and the weaponization there against Donald Trump. I wasn't sure if they were going to try to put him under house arrest in New York, if he was going to even make it to Milwaukee. Never crossed my mind that as I was walking in front of Fiserv on that Saturday, that he was being shot at, that an assassin was trying to kill President Trump, killed an innocent American that was at that rally, injured others. Never was that something that I thought we would be facing as we headed in to Milwaukee. But, you know, when J.D. Vance was announced, and the North Carolina delegation, Ohio was right behind us, to see the enthusiasm and energy, to see a young 39 years old, what a beautiful family he has. I think his message to the American voters, it is so strong, and he delivers something that is new and energetic to the ticket, especially pivotal up in the blue wall in those Rust Belt states.
Absolutely. I mean, when you see J.D. Vance as the vice presidential nominee on our ticket, you're reminded of what a terrific eye for talent President Trump has. J.D. Vance is a fighter. He's a patriot. Unlike Tim Walz, as I call him, J.D. Vance answered our country's call to service when he was asked to deploy to the Middle East. He answered our nation's call. Unlike Tim Walz, who stepped down, abandoned his men, and decided to run for Congress and become a career politician. You know, neither Tim Walz nor Kamala Harris has ever held a private sector job in their life. J.D. Vance, hardworking man. From the forgotten men and women from those communities, a man who loves his family, a man who loves God, a man who loves his country. Just a terrific selection, and very much represents absolutely the future of this movement that President Trump leads. And so we couldn't be prouder to have him on the ticket. They make a phenomenal team. We see that the more voters get to know J.D. Vance, the more they want to know about him, the more they like him, the more they want to see. And that's exactly what we plan on doing between President Trump and J.D. Vance over these next 70 days, is taking their winning message and persona and charisma and the love that they have for the American people to every corner of this country.
Well, Caroline Sunshine, we are so grateful to have you join us here. Deputy Director of Communications for President Donald Trump. We know North Carolina really is such a key state. We welcome the opportunity to have you back here on the show. Unbelievable that absentee ballots will be hitting mailboxes here in North Carolina a week from Friday. It's crazy to think September 6th, voting will begin here, but we know that the team is out working to get that message out. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.